My name is Lily, and I've had hidradenitis suppurativa, HS, for years. I finally found some relief since taking Cosentyx. Relief means I can show up more.
Cosentyx secukinumab is prescribed for adults with moderate to severe hidradenitis suppurativa, HS. Don't use if you're allergic to Cosentyx. Before starting, get checked for tuberculosis. An increased risk of infections and lowered ability to fight them may occur, like tuberculosis or other serious bacterial, fungal, or viral infections. Some are fatal. Tell your doctor if you have an infection or symptoms like fevers, sweats, chills, muscle aches, or cough, had a vaccine or plan to, or if inflammatory bowel disease symptoms develop or worsen. Serious allergic reactions and severe eczema-like skin reactions may occur. Learn more at 1-844-COSENTYX or Cosentyx.com.
Ask your dermatologist about Cosentyx.
No offense, but your brain is a terrible place to keep your big idea. It belongs in the world, but you know that already. You have a calling, a voice that says, this is what I'm meant to do. Create the website your big idea deserves with Wix. Make it your own with top-to-bottom customization, AI to help realize your vision, and built-in business tools to turn your daydream into your dream job. Wix supports every stage of the business journey, except one. Your decision to begin. Ready? Go to Wix.com.
Green Scene on The Pat Kenny Show with Repack, supporting the circular economy and reducing the impact of packaging on the environment.
Now, on The Green Scene, we have talked about many, many things, but nothing stranger, I think, than what follows. The T-Rex handbag. We're joined by Dr. Ruth Freeman, Director of Science for Society at Research Ireland. The T-Rex handbag.
Good morning, Pat. Yes. I mean, we've talked about a few different kinds of leather. We've talked about leather from mushrooms and from bacteria. Today I'm wearing my runners. They're made out of pineapple skins, so vegetable leather they are. But this is new. This is T-Rex leather. So this was announced. It's coming from a company called the Organoid Company, a company called Lab Grown Leather, and a creative agency, VML. And they have announced that this year they're going to release a handbag made of T-Rex leather. So you might say, well, how are they going to do that? And they kind of are and they kind of aren't. So that's the first thing. So we don't have any DNA from the T-Rex. But what we do have is some samples where we've been able to find collagen. And collagen is a protein that's in lots of different parts of our body. It's in our skin and other parts of our body. So they do have fragments of collagen. So what they're going to do is they're going to sort of reverse engineer what the DNA might have looked like. And they'll do that, of course, by comparing it to the types of dinosaurs that we still have around today, like chickens and turkeys and things like that. So they can reconstruct a sequence that might be like the T-Rex collagen.
The T-Rex handbag should be in parentheses.
It sort of should be. There's a little asterisk there. But then they will put that DNA into culture cells. They will grow T-Rex collagen. Then they'll use tissue engineering techniques, these kind of matrices that they use to grow cells in layers so they fix together like a skin type substance. And then they'll be able to sort of tan it and finish it like they would with normal leather. So this group of companies have done these kind of things before. They came up with this idea of a mammoth meatball before. And of course, you know, many of the times these things are about talking points and, you know, we're talking about it now. And it's an interesting talking point because there's a number of things to consider. This is quite eco-friendly, actually, to grow leather in a lab. If we can do it at scale using renewable energy, it's far less environmentally damaging than traditional leather production.
I presume, though, it will be high end, aimed at the Kardashians.
I think this one will be. I can't see too many of these up and down Grafton Street.
When are we likely to see either a bag or an accessory or a belt or whatever in T-Rex leather?
This year. It could be on your Christmas list, Pat.
It will be the must-have, won't it?
Yeah, yeah.
Now, the other more, I suppose, serious topic we have today is the tale of the missing herring.
The missing herring. And herring are an incredibly important fish stock, particularly in Norway and the Faroe Islands. And normally what herring do is they have a life cycle where they migrate and move around. So they spend much of their life in the winter out sort of in the north of the Norwegian Sea, but then they come into the coast to spawn. And of course they do that because it's more hospitable for the larva there. And for generations and generations, they've gone to a place quite far south in Norway called Moray. And this is where, of course, once the larvae spawn, some of the local fishing trawlers go in and try to catch the fish. Mm-hmm. But in 2021, only very, very few herring arrived and everyone was scratching our heads as to where the fish were. And then using kind of trawling acoustic methods, what they found was the fish were far up in the north of Norway in a place called Lofoten.
They hadn't come down.
They hadn't. They'd swum up to the north as opposed to swimming out from the Norwegian Sea down to the south. So everybody was wondering why this had happened. And research that was published in Nature in the last couple of weeks has taken immense amounts of data. So the research data going back to 1995, which looks at these trawling data, they tagged over 200,000 individual fish. And they were also able to look at the catch reports, obviously, because those are looked at in great detail. And what it seems is happening is that the fish have lost their way. And they've lost their way because the number of older fish has diminished in the shoals of fish that are coming in.
So who knew? We thought there was something in the brain that was kind of pre-programmed to go to any particular area. Like salmon, for example,
yes.
They find their way back up. But it turns out they were being taught by the older lads.
Yes. So what researchers, they talk about this thing called entrainment or social learning. So it's like this species has a sort of collective memory. And it's a bit like in a company. If you imagine all the experienced people leave and there's only new people there and they go, well, we'll just do this instead of what's been done for decades. But of course, this
has... It's called the Trump cabinet, by the way.
but this has quite significant impacts. Now, obviously, the initial impact to the fishing industry, I mean, this crop is worth hundreds of millions of euro to Norway and the Faroe Islands. So they were very concerned about what would happen to the catch. But of course, many other species are also dependent on these herring and feed on them. So if you think about what happens once they spawn is the currents bring the larvae up into the Barents Sea, which is at the very top north of Norway. And that's where that's kind of their nursery ground, where they spend 3 or 4 years until they then head out into the Norwegian Sea. So if you think about it, the new spawning ground doesn't necessarily connect to that current in the same way. So over time, we might see less successful larvae that go back to those good nursing grounds. But we also, those larvae, those currents go past seabird feeding grounds. They go past marine mammal feeding grounds.
So are they doing anything about it, or can they?
Well, the researchers are saying that this is probably irreversible because now the new pattern has been established. So since 2021, they start to see now the big spawning ground is in Lofoten now. And it doesn't look like it will be easily reversed. So we can see what we can do about it. I mean, we need to think about not letting this happen again, I suppose. Yeah. And some of the things like not fishing small fish, you know, this is an unintended consequence of that. By pulling out the bigger, more valuable, older fish, we're actually taking social memory out of these species. And I suppose what it reminds us is, well, what other species might have this kind of sort of ability built into their ecology? So we just need to think about when we disrupt a species, what are the potential impacts?
Dr. Ruth Freeman, Director of Science for Society at Research Ireland, thank you very much.
You set the gold standard for your business. Your website should do the same. Wix puts you at the helm, so you can enjoy the creative freedom of designing your site just the way you want. Want someone to bounce your ideas off? Talk with AI to create a beautiful site together. Whatever your business, manage it from one place and tie it all together with a personalized domain name. Gear up for success with a brand that says you best. You can do it yourself on Wix.